Can't you see it? The world running on EVs and renewable energy? Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you believe you are wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
It's vintage Patrick Kane. Showtime with a celly to go with it. The OT winner, and he's been on a tear. Wings have been on a tear. Hottest team in hockey, winners of 5 in a row. I think we can say this is more than a coaching bump. They're playing a completely different brand of hockey.
Sure they are. They're winning.
Beyond that.
It's a totally different brand of hockey. They're shooting. That's 33 shots.
They won a game this year with 11 shots. They were winning those games, but they weren't winning many of them, and that wasn't a brand of hockey that you could consistently win with. This is, guys, and I know we're going to get the Pistons in the mix here too, but the Wings played last night, and I thought it was telling that after kind of a mucky second period, they responded. They were down. They responded. They got back to playing the way they got back to playing effing hockey. They got back to putting the puck on the net, putting pressure, possessing the puck. They came back, they won, and they've won 5 in a row now, John.
Well, and I think you made a very important observation where, like you said, second period, not great. And we kind of always want to know, are we seeing the same thing that the coaches are seeing? And then after the game, McClellan says exactly what you wanted to hear.
Yeah, he didn't like their second period.
Yeah.
And just the blunt honesty of it all, right? With Lalonde, it felt like it was always
sugar-coated.
Sugar-coated, or he'd couch stuff, or we're lucky to be here is something that he said last year.
Or he didn't even see it.
Right, I didn't see it would be here, yeah. McClellan comes in, and he took the one game to observation, and they lost 5-2 to Toronto. And from that moment on, they've yet to lose. And he's been brutally honest. And he had shared that the players wanted this, that they actively wanted to be challenged and pushed. And he's everything this team needed. You know, I don't know if he's the coach that'll win a Stanley Cup here. It's far too early to say. He's never won one in his career. But he's the exact coach this team needed at this moment. Some fire, some honesty, some tough love, some push. I also loved one of the first things he said when he got the job at his press conference was, Dylan Larkin's taken on a lot of this weight. Dylan Larkin's playing a lot better now. I think that has spread out. There's accountability across the team right now. Patrick Kane's a guy that's a leader, a veteran that stepped up. And I think the team has just bought in completely.
Well, it's a completely different mindset that they're playing with. The players wanted it. The fans certainly wanted it. And you just want to see that they can be in the mix. And I know it's too early, and you guys always get on me about, hey, you know, I click on the wild card tab, and all of a sudden, hey, they're 2 spots back of the wild card. All you want is to be within striking range right now. That's kind of the expectation. And we all always thought that, hey, this year is one where they should be in those 1 or 2 wild card spots. But they fell so far behind, and now they're in the mix. And Yzerman said it, hey, we're a 3-game stretch away from, you know, being within striking range. And he was right. I mean, now, okay, it took 5 games, but they are within striking range. And at this point, I think really the best you can hope for is that they remain there. Like, they're always within striking range. They might be 3 back. They might be 1 in. But that they're always in that mix to be a wild card team, because the expectation that we had as fans, even though they wouldn't say it, Derek Lalonde wouldn't say it, Yzerman wouldn't say it, was that this is the year where they were going to be a wild card team, that they were going to get postseason play. And a ticket texter brought it up. We talked about it before the show. In our lifetime, we've never had all 4 teams be playoff teams in 1 calendar year.
Yeah, you start looking back and you realize it's never happened.
No, I mean, Tigers, okay, check that box. They did it. It was a historic run. Yep. Nobody thought that they were going to do it.
Yeah, miraculous.
Yeah, and now, hey, the Lions did what they were supposed to do.
Yep.
They're in the playoffs, 1 seed. Now what will the other 2 teams do? The Wings, the Pistons, higher expectations for the Wings, obviously, because they've been building for long. I mean, Pistons seems like they're up, but they're starting with Trajan Langdon. Cade Cunningham is playing at all-star level. This should be the year that we get all four teams in postseason play.
Yeah, Iserman had shared when he made the decision to move on from Derek Lalonde that his expectation was they'd compete for a wild card spot. Now, it's still a little light to me. Like, make the playoffs is a reasonable expectation 6 years in, and they're playing more like it now. The playoffs are on the table for this hockey team, which is a lot more than we could have said about them 2 weeks ago, 2 months ago. They're in this thing. And, John, we could look at the playoffs seriously for both teams, the Red Wings and the Pistons right now. I think we're seeing real growth from both of these teams. So we'll open it up. I know the Lions are the big story, and they're the majority of what we're doing this week. But in the middle of the week, Lions aren't playing. Tune into a Red Wing game, you got to be happy with what you see. You tune into a Pistons game, you've been pretty happy with what you've seen so far. 248-539-9797. Your thoughts on the progress of these teams, and maybe who's making more progress? They're both at 18 wins today.
Mm-hmm. They're both at 18 wins. Both are at 500. And the Pistons are in a more advantageous spot. Some of it's because of the Eastern Conference kind of stinks right now. But they are in that play-in tournament as we sit. And again, it's still very early. There's still a lot of basketball. They, you know, they do have the right to get better. We have no idea what they're going to do at the trade deadline. We also don't know what the Wings will do at the trade deadline. Are they going to be in a position where, didn't think it a couple of weeks ago, but maybe they add somebody or they at least stand pat? We kind of felt like this was going to be another year to sell.
It could be very interesting. I know the deadline in the NBA is about a month away, and hockey's even a little further out. They got to earn the right to buy. Sure. And I want to see the urgency from these teams, right? I think Langdon's in a different position having just taken over in Detroit. Iserman, 6 years in, didn't show enough urgency in the offseason with Lalonde, didn't show enough urgency until it had hit rock bottom with Lalonde. I hope we don't have to get to a point where they're a Stanley Cup team before he buys at the deadline. If they're a playoff team, add, compete, try to win. And he did allude to the fact that they need to expedite this responsibly, but they do need to be pushing this thing forward, and I hope he follows through on that.
Yeah. You always got to be striving for what's next. That's why we are asking the question earlier, Super Bowl or bust for the Lions. Expectations matter. Fans' expectations, while it may not matter to the players and it may not matter to the general manager or the owners, but fans' expectations are real. And we expect these teams to be playoff teams.
What are you seeing with the Wings? What are you seeing with the Pistons? Who's making more progress? But you don't have to like pick a favorite child. If you want to celebrate both of them, call us. Let us know. 248-539-9797. It's just good that we can even have the conversation about all four teams in the postseason. It's been a long, dark time.
Yes.
It's finally starting to look up. We got ticket text to read. We want phone calls from you guys this morning. Taking a break from the Lions to talk about a couple teams that are perking up. Red Wings and Pistons, both on win streaks. Wings, 5 in a row. It's the longest active streak in the NHL. It's clearly more than just a couple games where a coach shook them up. They're playing real better hockey, like significantly better brand of hockey. And with the Pistons, John, Cade Cunningham has turned himself into a legitimate all-star.
Regarding the Wings, and yes, certainly. I think Cade Cunningham is developing into the player that we believed he could be. But the Wings, you were there last night.
Yeah.
How much different is the feeling, the environment at the LCA than it was, you know, pre-McClellan?
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of, like the team played with a malaise, and sometimes that would bleed into the crowd. And then I wonder if it's like a cycle, because then the team's just kind of skating through the motions. A lot of dump and chase with Derek Lalonde, just fighting to get the puck out of their own end, but never actually entering the zone with like purpose. And they got to do a little bit of that in the second period yesterday. Like there was a faint, let's go Red Wings. It would just die off immediately. The team was getting like one man rushes, one and done chances. But that was the outlier. That was the norm under Derek Lalonde's Red Wings. Todd McClellan, I mean, they get into the intermission and they snap back to it. They're trailing. They're down a goal. He said after the game, this was a good test for our guys. And they did. You know, they came back in that game. And he made a savvy line change. He took Joe Valeno, who's been a little burst up on the first line, bumped him down to the fourth, and he moved Marco Kasper, the rookie, up to the first line. And I don't know which one he was trying to jumpstart or, you know, clearly Kasper, but it's the fourth line that ends up getting the goal, and they're tough on the puck. Like Tyler Motz, this fourth line little grinder, and he's weaving in the zone, and he's got three guys around him, and they're tough on the puck. They're tough to take it away from. They're relentless. And Foligno, it's a rebound goal. It's kind of a greasy goal. It's the kind of goals they weren't getting, chasing and crashing the net. And I credit Todd McClellan for that, and I think it's pretty clear that he's exactly what this team needed. And being in the building, you really do feel like, imagine you're watching a game, and you know you're edge of your seat when your team can score. You were very rarely edge of your seat when you were watching Derek Lalonde's Red Wings.
And it's got to be just, I mean, I know it is, it comes across the TV, when you have the choice to change the channel, but you don't because you're at least seeing some offense. You're seeing some shots on goal. Before it was an easy switch because you're like, this is so boring. There's no shots. There's no offense. It's gotta be even more so at the LCA when you're sitting there watching a game, knowing that whether you're edge of your seat, there's a chance that something good could happen.
You realize in 2025, none of our teams have lost.
Well, that's a nice little point.
Lions haven't lost. Pistons haven't lost. Red Wings haven't lost. Hey, you want to throw in Michigan State?
Yeah.
They haven't lost either.
Winners.
2025, the year of the winners.
Yeah. City of winners.
The year of Detroit.
State of winners.
Yeah. Punctuate it with a Super Bowl. Throw in some playoff appearances along the way. And that's the natural progression for both these teams, the Pistons and the Red Wings. It's the natural progression. Now, the question we threw out there is you don't have to pick your favorite kid, but John, I'll ask you. You got to pick one of them. Who do you think is going to show more progress when all is said and done?
I think it'll be the Pistons simply because they're coming from so far back, and maybe even just Cade Cunningham, watching him and the way that he is attacking the fourth quarters. We saw it early in the season and they just came up short, or, you know, hey, he'd be having a good game. And then all of a sudden with 8 minutes left to go, it was over. And now they're starting to win some of those games, but you know, when you only win 14 games in a season, and now, you know, shortly after the new year, you're sitting there at 18 wins and you're at 500 and you're in the play-in tournament. And we started to see this when they were playing for the NBA Cup, right? We talked to JB, and, you know, it was a little disappointing the night that after we had talked to him, they lose. But you see that there's some excitement and that there's some progress, and it's a bummer to lose Ivy. But I really think that this is a team that is starting to, one, learn how to play together, learn what it looks like, feels like, and smells like to win games.
The answer to me is the Wings because of the Ivy injury. And that's not the fault of the Pistons. I think they're still going to show a clear progression, and that's centered around Cade. The Wings were close to the playoffs a year ago. The playoffs are back on the table. I feel like it's more realistic that they are a playoff team between the two. And that's tangible. It's a lot harder to sell. Like, well, if you watch the ball possession, if you watch the movement of the Pistons offense, the diehards will know that. The casual fan's going to want to see postseason. And I think the Red Wings have a much better chance to get in the postseason.
I don't know if they have a better chance. I think you would think that they would, but they're in a tougher division and a tougher conference than the Pistons are in right now.
Yeah, but I said it before the year, and
it's not just the Wings or the Pistons. Some of it's the competition around them as well.
And I don't want to minimize it, but I feel like we do this, and we used to do this with the Lions. Like, they needed to have a favorable draw or a schedule. If you're good, you win, right? And I said this because in hockey, everybody says that the East is too good, the division's too good. Why can't you be one of the good teams? Right, that's actual progress, not just lapping it up against bad teams. Like, you get what I'm saying?
Yeah, but the progress for the Pistons is they were an awful team. And now, I don't know what type of words you want to use to describe them. They're not bad, or they're 500 right now, so they're average.
Let me read you some of these ticket texts. 248-539-9797. Jaden Ivey comes back for the playoffs to win an NBA championship, just like Hutchinson is going to return for the Lions to win the Super Bowl.
It's okay. I don't know what JB, what words he's used, but it's season-ending injury. 4 to 6 months? Come on.
Ticket texter says, I don't think anybody knows the Pistons lineup by name.
Probably not.
They know Cade. They know Durin.
Yeah. If you're a Detroit sports fan, I don't know how they're not raising your eyebrow at some point here.
They should be.
What they're doing is they're not giving in any nights right now. Like, a lot of teams will mail in NBA games. They're not.
You know what the theme here, though, is? It's coaching.
Yeah.
When you mentioned all of our teams could go to the playoffs this year, the year of Detroit, the year of winning, have we ever had all four teams coached this proficiently? I mean, there's no doubt. Like, A.J. Hinch should have been the manager of the year in baseball. Yeah. With the way he manipulated a ragtag group to the postseason. Dan Campbell, as a culture builder, but also the adversity and the injuries, and they're 15-2, 6-0 in the best division. McClellan, the coaching impact is undeniable. And for J.B. Bickerstaff, I mean, from him to Monty Williams, it's startling.
I think the only holdback right now, and maybe the answer is clearly yes, it is the best coaches that we've had for all four teams at any one time. And I am very excited about what the Wings are doing, but we're talking about six games for McClellan so far.
They just look so much different.
They do.
Man.
They do. Clearly, it's an improvement. I want to see more sample size.
The one time they didn't look different was last night in the second period, and then they snapped out of it.
Because you're not going to play perfect.
Right. Every team has bad periods, okay? But they looked like the Lalonde Wings last night in the second period, especially the first 15 minutes.
But isn't that telling, though, when you have to snap out of it? Are you forming these new habits or not? Right, John? It's easy to fall back into the old habits, but all it takes is, hey, a quick reset in the intermission, and you're right back to it.
And maybe that's what I want to see, because they're obviously not going to win every single game from here on out.
Right.
And they're not going to play great every single night, every time they take the ice. So what happens? How do they respond after a two-game losing streak or a three-game losing streak?
Between these two teams, I think one thing to keep an eye on is Cade's durability. It's been a knock on him. I mean, look, I'm a Cade fan, and he's starting to realize some of the potential I thought he had when they drafted him. And it was going to take time. He's still only 22, okay? But can he last the whole way? Now, he's probably going to need a few load management games here. I mean, it's reasonable to have a couple of those. I know people hate it, but a couple are okay. But with the Red Wings, I have to go with them, and it's more than just Ivy. It's the bottom of the East is pacing right now for the 8 seed to get 84 points. This team had 91 last year. Okay, now it's probably going to get up to 90 anyways, or maybe even higher. But that's the pace right now. 84 points to get the last spot. You're fighting with a bunch of just mediocre blah teams, and I don't know if anybody can rise from that crop of teams. I mean we did it with the Devils last year and they never did it. Well, the same thing applies with the Rangers. You know, so maybe are they gonna steal a spot? Can all of a sudden they get hot in the second half? I right now it's looking like no. But you look at the bottom of the East in the NBA, and there's only one team that's lurking out behind the Pistons that I still think could find something. It's the 76ers. But what if Miami falls apart with Butler getting traded? I mean, so somebody could slide down. And again, the Pistons are going to have to win one game probably, because they're probably going to be in a play-in.
Let's get to the phones. John in South Lyon, you're on 97.1.
Morning, guys.
Good morning.
So I don't watch much of the Pistons, so I can't speak to them. But I love what I'm seeing with the Red Wings. With Newsy as coach, we used to get two, maybe all three periods as bad periods, low effort periods like you guys were mentioning. Now we'll have a bad period. They'll bounce back. We're seeing a lot more effort out of players that should be playing well. Patrick Kane has come back from the dead. Larkin, even when he wasn't scoring goals, was at least getting assists. Now he's back on scoring goals. It seems like there's a lot more buy-in, which is just huge. And they're playing effing hockey. I mean, it boils down to that. It is very exciting to watch now. And if these guys stay healthy like they've been for most of the year, they could make the playoffs, I think.
Yeah, and make the playoffs, I think, is the fair goal. I'm not going to sell people that they can do very much. They still have their limitations. The offseason still was kind of a flat offseason. But year over year, they're borderline playoff team a year ago, flat offseason. Get back in, make some noise. Andrew, you're next up. You're on 97.1.
Hey, morning, guys. How you guys doing?
Good.
So here's my thing with the Red Wings. If we make the playoffs, that's great. But here's the thing. We will not be able to go deeper win with the current defenseman state that we have. Like, we have Justin Hall on the ice. We're not going to be able to win Justin Hall on the ice. And also the goalies, Lyon and Talbot, they're not going to be enough. We don't have that certified, you know, Vasilevsky in that. We don't have that certified stud defenseman that's going to be able to get us over the top.
You're right.
And that's my issue with them.
Yeah, I mean, and I think the plan is Kosa and Augustine won the gold for the U.S. juniors, but they're not NHL goalies. This is just kind of, hey, get by with a couple Band-Aid goalies.
Well, and I think did he say he was taking it to the next level where he thinks it could be a playoff team, but they're not going to win a playoff series?
Yes, basically. Okay, worry about it when we get there.
Let's get there first.
Yeah, exactly. That'd be progress, tangible progress to get in.